covering Agnew. My name is Tony. Real grateful to be clean, grateful to be alive. I bring you greetings from the Small Wonder area, Newcastle County, Delaware. We stay clean in Delaware. I want to thank Sarah for sharing. And I need to say that I'm an excited and inspired recovering addict today. The topic of diversity is our strength. My clean date, September the 6th, 1991. 23 years, 7 months later, I'm struggling with wrapping my head around how diversity is our strength, just for today. And the reason why I say that is because God has done some amazing things with me. He has allowed me to understand that diversity has its place, but it's more about our similarities. I can no longer look at, like my humanist says, like, look at the diversity of this room. Many ages, sizes, races, sexual identities, short, tall, fat, skinny. I kind of fit in all of them. But that is, when it really comes to the end of the day, like our Living Clean book said, it talks about the kaleidoscope. That all these different colors in a kaleidoscope, separately they're just colors. But as they turn and they start to paint a beautiful picture. So it is in our differences that we're just a kaleidoscope of individuals, but all together we're just a beautiful picture. And I'm so grateful to Almighty God that He has done some work with me. And I've done some work with him. I'm no longer able to look at our differences. You see, I'm a guy that got clean, celebrated 24 hours clean just one time in the lobby of a shelter. And I said, God, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. And I've been clean ever since. But that's not everybody's story. If that was everybody's story, we would not have nothing to compare ourselves to. So that's where diversity has become my strength. Being able to compare where I was with somebody else's where they were. But the truth is, I need to compare me to me. All the time. Like where I was on September the 5th of 1991 was a very dark place. Very dark. But I remember it like it was 20 minutes ago. I don't never want to forget it. I don't never want to forget how I felt. I don't never want to forget who I was with, what I did, who I was doing. I don't ever want to forget that. But I got to look at the fact that as similar as we are, listen, it is so cool that our literature talks about, and it's early in our literature, in our preference of living clean, it says that the best part about living clean is that we're alive to do it. And for people with the disease of addiction, that is nothing less than a miracle. See, I know that I came from, I'm West Philadelphia born. So, in the midst of my active addiction, I did a lot of nasty stuff with a lot of nasty people. Heterosexual male. That prostituted himself with other males just to get high. And I had to get in touch with that and not feel so alienated when I got here. Because I felt alienated. I felt so alienated. I could not share that with anybody. That was one of those, I'm taking this to the grave. Only to sit here long enough and hear the exact same thing. And I'm not going to apologize for referencing our literature because I'm going to keep going right back to it. Right back to it. Because what it has let me know was that a common thread, let me know that this in the preface also, a common thread that we all share through our varied experiences is that we all draw strength from Narcotics Anonymous no matter how much clean time we have and no matter how many steps we've worked. So it was somebody with a lot less clean time than me. And I was like, yeah, I know where you are. I know where you've been. I felt the same way. Alienated. So beneath. But it was only through the grace of Almighty God that I stayed here long enough to hear my recovery story. Once again, it says that our using story is not the only important story that we need to listen to. We need to sit here long enough to hear our recovery story. There's a balance in that. I can't keep like drawing from my using days. I understand that I have a story just as dramatic, clean. Listen, dramatic. And it wasn't that I go after drama, because I don't invite issues. Like, I thank God for everything. I thank God for everything, because had it not been for all of that stuff coming together, I would not be the guy who stands before you today. Because I can reference me to me now. So it is in our unity. It is in our, and the young lady talked about it. Our unity. Check it out. Our fourth tradition talks about our autonomy of our groups. How each group is different, but how powerful that makes up our fellowship. The differences in our meetings. So as individuals, we have some of that same juice. That we are all different. But together, we are so powerful. We are so powerful. God bless you. I now understand that had it not been for the diversity that, listen, I got clean at the age of 27. I had just turned 27. I don't remember my 20s, if anybody can relate to that. I don't remember turning 25. But I do remember the summer before I turned 27, homeless, penniless, clothless, nowhere to go, suicidal, too much of a punk to be homicidal. But then when I got here, that's why I said I was done. I really didn't understand what I was like embarking on being done. I just knew that not only did I want to stop using drugs, I just wanted to stop living the way I was living. I was a bum. I mean, a bum with nowhere to go and nothing of any value. My self-worth had no value. But then I got here and I was able to rub elbows with a lot of people, a lot of different people. Now, the faces of Narcotics Anonymous has changed. I got clean in 1991. The most clean time in my area, I believe at that time, was 7 years. 7 years. To be able to rub elbows with anybody with 10 years clean at that time pretty much was unheard of. And it's amazing how our literature written way back when still makes sense today. Those that are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in man's entire history, you know how long that is? That's a pretty long time. Real long time. A simple way. Simple. This is real simple. Don't use and your life will get better. That's pretty much our message back then. Don't use, go to meetings, get a sponsor. Don't use, go to meetings, get a sponsor. That still works. But the one thing I and the young ladies talked about the age difference. I'm 50, believe it or not. We age well in recovery. Yes, we do. But blessed in the area of sponsorship. Thank God for sponsorship, y'all. Listen, chapter 5 in our basic text, y'all. Those who gets the most out of the Narcotics Anonymous program are those whom sponsorship is important. So I thank God for sponsorship. But I'm so blessed because I've been in the area of sponsorship because I've got a lot of young white guys that are staying clean. Not because of anything, well, I don't want to minimize my part in it, but they see something. See, I'm a hands-on kind of guy. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm going to just follow me. Let's go. Let's go. Because at 23 and a half years clean, I still make 6 or 7 meetings a week. 6 or 7 a week. It's not hard to do that. It's not a chore to do that. It's not a chore to still continue to do step work, contact a sponsor. Please understand that still works. So to have these cats, I got a real good buddy of mine. Listen, just celebrated 4 years clean and is about to go on his senior prom. Now understand that is something probably a whole lot of us in this room have never experienced. Never. But to have that and just to see the enthusiasm, because listen, it is our enthusiasm. It is our diversity brings about some enthusiasm. I'm excited about having a day clean. A day clean. 8,625 of them suckers, but I'm real grateful for the first one. I don't never want to forget the first one. And that's where I draw my strength, too, was from my first day clean. Because I was able to just really understand that I'm here for a purpose. Please understand and find your purpose. Find your purpose here. It is to stay clean. Just for the day. But like our step work instructed me to do, I need to get this back, and that is now my purpose. See, it was about the desperation when I got here. And now, thank God, they came up with these good desperation to passion, man. Listen, that is a first step issue. And I'm just not saying that. It is written like that. But I feel that now. I feel the fact that my passion for this goes so much far beyond just staying clean. I like the way I live now. The young lady talked about her life and how beautiful that is. And listen, that is what this program will offer us. It doesn't promise us that, but it will offer us that. And if that's what you want out of life, you will receive it. If you want to just stay clean and crazy, you can get that too. If you want to just be clean and miserable, have at it. One thing I know about clean and miserable, you will not be in my circle. Staying clean has allowed me to do so many things. Listen, I've been blessed to make 4 world conventions. Talk about diversity. To hang out with these jokers from Japan were thugs. They were some thugs. But I'm here to tell you, no matter where we come from, we still, listen, I understand the disease of addiction. It doesn't discriminate. It doesn't care how old we are, where we come from, how much money our parents had, how much money we have. It doesn't care. It doesn't care about our education. Because that education could fit right on the top of a spoon with a match underneath it. If anybody can identify with a spoon. That it will take my education, it'll take my job, it'll take every little trinket that I have and fit in the tip of a needle. And I only say the tip of a needle because I'm not big on drug of choice. No, let me not say it like that. I don't believe in drug of choice. I had a drug of preference. Because anything I did made all my choices. I had no choice on what I used. So now that I stand here and I'm embarking on this journey, Because let me tell you, the journey does continue. It does not stop. It does not take exits. It just continues. It's ongoing. It talks about if we're not going uphill, we're going downhill. So going downhill means I'm going backwards. I don't never want to go back to where I was. Because at the end of the road, I was on the South Street Bridge overlooking 76 West, ready to jump. Because I did not have anything left in me. Nothing. Nothing. I'm a mama's boy. Anytime your mom, for a mama's boy, for a mother to no longer want you in the house, y'all fill in the rest. But what I understand, man, is that now that I'm here, it's important that I do everything I have to do to stay here. Like nothing else, nothing is a chore when it comes to Narcotics Anonymous. Staying clean is not a chore. Getting clean is a chore. Staying clean has not been a chore for me. Because I will never forget why I come. Recovery and relapse has that so clear. Don't forget. As long as I don't forget, I will never have to repeat it. But I love the fact that I have people in my life that, and I heard the young lady mention Sweden. I have sponsee brothers from Sweden. Listen, we're so many of them varied. So many of them varied. I don't speak Swedish either. I don't. Now, here's a hit for you. The interpreter. If anybody pays attention to the interpreter, that's a language. That is a language for those that are hearing impaired. To watch the interpreter speak silently is powerful. It's powerful. And for me, just to see the interpreter sign language, jails, institutions, and death does something to me. Diversity. We have hearing impaired. We have vision impaired. We have people that are paraplegic. We are so many of them varied. And I'm so grateful for that. So grateful. I don't ever want to think that I'm the only way to recover. That my way is the only way to recover. I do steps. I make meetings. I stay in contact with other recovering addicts. I have breakfast with friends. I don't ever want to think that as long as I just don't use, I'm going to be okay. Well, I'm sorry. My experience has been just not using is just not enough. It has been important for me to put in the work. To get not just another day clean, but to get to know who I am. Thank God for sponsorship once again, because my sponsor introduced me to the disease of addiction. No way could I have gotten help for the disease of addiction if I didn't even know I suffered from a disease. So now that I know that I have this affliction called the disease of addiction, now I know what to work on. Because I could put the drugs down and still be so consumed with the disease of addiction. The disease is bad to the bone. But recovery is even badder. I absolutely believe and say all the time, like the disease gets too much airplay. We're always talking disease. But recovery is so much more powerful than the disease of addiction. I understand that, and I believe that from the bottom of my soul, that recovery has a way of telling the disease to step off. See, the bottom of page one in our step guide, man, told me that. How can I tell them how my disease is active? See, I used to think active addiction was the smoking, the drinking, the shooting, the popping, and all that good stuff. But it told me when I become trapped in obsessive and compulsive routines. Endless loops Those that have been here long enough know that endless loops is nothing but a replay of the vicious cycle. But they lead nowhere. Nowhere. Except spiritual, mental, physical, and emotional decay. I don't know about nobody else. I hate the dentist. A cavity is decay. So if I'm going to allow my spirit to decay, I'm in a whole world of trouble. But I thank God for the people. For the people. See, I understand our fellowship is the people. See, I'm blessed in the areas of my work where I go. My job sends me places. I was 2.5 months out of the country working, making money, but I couldn't make meetings. So it was suggested to me, get on the phone. We have phone line meetings, right? They have their place. I'm appreciative of them, but there's nothing like the people. Nothing like being in a meeting, fellowshipping. Nothing like it. So it is in that I get my strength. It is in our people that I get what I need to get. Just get another day clean and to learn more about living life on its own. See, life has never gone anywhere. I went somewhere. I wanted to forget about life. Life is life. Life is just life. You know, it has its ups, its downs, its hots, colds, its ins and its outs. But I'm learning so much, man. I still am learning. I'm so glad there's no finish line, checkered flag, or gold watch or diploma for recovery. I'm so glad that I'm still here to continue to make the investment, not only in my own recovery, but to have some guys that I'm so blessed to have in my life to make an investment in theirs. And that's what's really important right now, is making an investment in somebody else's life. I'm good. If God were to call me wherever he needs to call me, I'm good. Job well done, God. I'll be okay. But it's real important that I don't do whatever I have to do anything to speed that process up. Because I got people watching me. I got people looking at, like, following my lead. Like, listen, we always say, like, there is no model for the recovering addict, but you can best believe we are role models for each other. There's a big difference. There's a big difference in that. So I just believe, like, listen, as I look out and see my role models, I got to believe that I'm also somebody else's role model. So I need to act accordingly. I need to act like I'm in recovery. No, there's no picture of somebody with 23.5 years clean, what they're supposed to look like, what they're supposed to be doing. But listen, somebody said to me a while ago, you don't look like you ever smoked crack. Thank God I don't look like I smoked crack. Really? I mean, can you imagine? Still looking like you used and you ain't used in 10 years? That's just not a good look. Really. Still looking like you're using and you're not using. That's not a good look. But I'm here just to be a vision of hope for anybody. Listen, most importantly, I'm a vision of hope for myself. I'm capable of looking in the mirror and saying, dude, you're doing okay. You're doing okay. I don't have to present myself as somebody other than I'm not. I don't have to buy into the lie that I'm capable of telling myself about myself. I don't have to buy into that. Thank God, my fifth step helped me to understand, and it says it in our step guide, that true self-acceptance is acceptance of the things that I lack. See, I have to understand that I'm not all that. That I do lack some things. And I have to be okay with that. went on to say that if I don't accept that I have more work to do, I'm in denial. I am so in denial. Listen, I'm gonna start shutting this down. Listen, I watched the movie Flight last night, right? Sure, a lot of people have seen that movie. I still get upset at that movie. I still get upset. I understand the movie, but I understand the denial that was going through that movie. And if you've never seen it, please make the investment. Just watch it. Good movie. Real good movie. But at the end, the question was asked, who are you? Who are you? Well, before that, he said, I'm supposed to write this essay on the most intriguing person I've never met. Who are you? And I took that personal. Because getting here, I needed to find out who I am. And am I capable of really looking at and being honest with myself on who I am? Not the things that I have, what I think I am, who I think I am, and you know, the job is what makes me, the mate is what makes me, the money is what makes me. Who am I? That's a great question. So that's kind of one of the things that I still sit back and ponder. Who am I? And it's okay to have that. To have that thought, to really make the investment in self to say, like, listen, Tony, who are you, man? But I know a good portion of who I am is a good dude. I don't beat myself up about a whole lot of stuff as much anymore. Because I know I'm a good dude. Ain't I, Frank?
All day long.
My man. So I'm just, I just want to shut it down. I'm going to read something real fast. I talked about finding a good place to be. Some of us struggle to give ourselves permission to be happy. We may not think we deserve it, or we may fear that we will stop working on ourselves. Some of us have been unhappy for so long that it feels uncomfortable to let go of our bitterness. When we treat happiness as a spiritual principle, we can see its relationship to humility. Now, we've already learned how important humility is. Our ability to enjoy our lives is directly related to our willingness to let go of our self-obsession. If we think of happiness as a spiritual asset, we can see it as both a gift and a goal. We work towards it by letting go of those things that we can see standing in its way, and lead the rest to a power greater than ourselves. I'm understanding that happiness is a choice. That is not the things that I have that make me happy. Listen, I have been blessed to have 2 brand new cars since I've been clean. My father has never had a brand new car. But I also know that my to have brand new anything is by the grace of Almighty God. It really is. It really is. Right around Christmas time, I come back from being out of the country working, and I told him I wanted to leave. I actually had gotten another job, and I was making my 2-week notice like I'm leaving. So I heard the sentence that, listen, I had never heard before. What can we do to keep you? I never heard that before. What can we do to keep you? I was given a nice little raise. $10,000 raise. All right, I'll stay. Not long after that, maybe even just a month ago, I go to work on a Monday morning and here's this $1,000 bonus. Immediately, I thought of my sponsees. Immediately. And the reason why I thought of the men that I sponsor was because of the investment, and that I got all these good things, the car, the job, the raises, is because of my investment in here. It's not what I do at the job, it's what I do here that I get what I get. And I'm grateful for that. I'm so grateful for that. That I do it, everything that I have to do. I make meetings. I chase meetings. I chase them. I don't just go to Baltimore, to New York, to North, South Jersey to speak. I go because there's a meeting. I'm real grateful that I got that. That I have that enthusiasm. I'm still happy to be a recovering addict. I am. God has done some amazing things with me. I am not that scared little boy anymore. No more. Like, listen, Bernie Mac said it best, and I'm not going to say it verbatim, but I ain't scared of you motherfuckers no more. I was scared of y'all. I was scared because I thought I was different. I swore I was different. I am so, we are each other's eyes and ears. I am my brother's keeper. All those little cliches that I heard a long time ago still make sense here in recovery. Stay on the steps. Don't get off the steps. When you get off the steps, you get in trouble. Can anybody relate? Getting off the steps and getting in trouble. I'm just so grateful, man. I'm grateful. Gratitude is not just a mood. It's a course of action. So I need to show my gratitude. I need not walk around with my eyes, my eyebrows low, my lips poked out. I ain't got this. I ain't got that. I need to be grateful of what I do got, like the breath of life. The breath of life is the most important thing that I've gained in this program. Because I don't have to be here. None of us do. So even though we all come from different areas and different places, we're different folks, guess what? It's supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be like that. Thank God we don't all recover at the same time. Thank God we all ain't all sick at the same time. Because I need somebody to bounce what's going on with me off of. And I'm so grateful. I want to thank God. I want to thank this committee. I want to thank all of you for being here. I'm done. Thanks.